their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and the discussion. Let me encourage you today to call in with your thoughts, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're asking the question, what happened to America? What happened to America? We're doing a little play acting, if you will. Be talking about what will America be like, let's say 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 5 years from now. What will it be like? What all will have transpired that will have changed dramatically the face of America as we know it today? Jesus said, a house divided will not stand. A nation divided will not survive. I'm paraphrasing Matthew 12:25. At your leisure, read that. We're in a divided nation today. Homes divided, families divided, nation divided, denominations divided. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We're witnessing America's history in the making. Listen, America's history in the making. Let me just pose a little question before we get into the depth of monologue and look at the issue today. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you have ever watched the movie? The movie, the classic, It's a Wonderful Life. My bride says she never gets to watch it. She's always in the kitchen preparing the Thanksgiving meal or Christmas meal. But I've watched It's a Wonderful Life probably 10, 15, 20 times. It's a wonderful, wonderful scenario that's set forth in the It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart plays the part of the banker in the little town called Bedford Falls. But when Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey, got his wish that he had never lived, he saw what Bedford Falls became. It was now Pottersville. Pottersville filled with bars and lounges and wild living and people with no funds to buy their homes, as in George Bailey's town, Bedford Falls. People had a hard time. It was completely different from the quiet family life in Bedford Falls and what was then known in his dream as Pottersville. I think we can use that as a good scenario and a good setting to analyze what we have in America today and what America will look like in the very near future. And it's the little book of Amos. Amos said, I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. And ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know it, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. But I can tell you, based on what we see taking place in America today, where we're headed and what America will be like 10 years from now if Jesus tarries, if the rapture of the church tarries, if the hand of God holds back the rapid progression of the hand of time, as we see it today, we're going to see a massively different America. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes to the regular theater studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue today. What happened to America? Perhaps you have insight. Perhaps you have thoughts. Perhaps you have some sense of where we're going in America if things continue to progress exponentially as they presently are. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issue, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not looking, we're not trying to look at a denominational dogma through the prisms, through the prism of what a denomination may say. We're not looking at it from the standpoint of a philosophical rhetoric approach. We're not approaching the issues based on what politicians may say or some individual might feel. We're looking at the issues based on a biblical worldview. I call it a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview, simply put, means this. All that takes place, all that we see happening in our city, in our state, in our nation, and on a global level, we need to view it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. What does God's word tell us? Ladies and gentlemen, today's newspaper, with the headlines of any newspaper around the world, did not take God by surprise. God is sovereign. He is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. And there's not one thing that happens today that God does not already know is going to take place, and he knows when it's going to take place. But ladies and gentlemen, we are volitional people. We make choices and decisions. And what we see happening today in the choices and decisions are undermining, tearing down, and destroying anything that will be called a future in what would be called America. What happened to America is what we'll be talking about on this broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. And let me remind you, as we face the issues based on a central biblicist worldview, we look at it through the lens of Scripture. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that endures forever, according to Psalms 117:2. So we need to stick to the word of God. The secularist George Orwell said, by the way, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984, published in the late 40s, 47, 48, 49, George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." It is a fact, ladies and gentlemen, today, that according to the latest survey, some 55% of millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% of millennials think that each person determines their own version of truth. There's no such thing. It's an impossibility to have more than one truth. And yet Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and the others on the extreme left, those that are the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, they feel that they can have their own truth, regardless of what history proves, regardless of what our Bill of Rights say, regardless of what we find in our Declaration of Independence, regardless of our founding documents with our founding fathers. The mindset is today, we can determine our own truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's an impossibility. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And I challenge us each and every day on this broadcast to do that very thing. Seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. Now that Tucker Carlson is gone, you won't find it on Fox News. Fox News is in the hands of Murdoch's sons, which are ranked liberals. Part of the board for Fox News happens to be Paul Ryan, which is a rhino. But may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the basics of what does the Word of God say. It's an impossibility to determine truth lest we go back to the truth book, the foundation of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of the 295, I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag, good benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Let me take just one moment, and then we'll introduce our first caller today. If you've ever watched it, and let me repeat myself, if you've ever watched that old, old classic, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart played the part of the banker in Bedford Falls. And it's through the banking that was handled by Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey. It was the Bailey Savings and Loan. And ladies and gentlemen, it was because of what he would do in making the loans that the citizens in that little town had the privilege of buying their own home rather than renting a slum house from Potter. But ladies and gentlemen, George Bailey, because of a major, major difficulty that took place, according to the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, wish he had never been born. And so the angel Clarence, as the movie would have it, gave him his wish. He had never been born. And when George Bailey awakened from that sleep, if you will, and realized what Bedford Falls had become, Pottersville, with no holds barred, everything going, and a loose lax lost city, George Bailey could not believe what he saw in that scenario, that Bedford Falls had become Pottersville. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm using that as a good illustration where Jesus says in Matthew 12:25, that a house divided cannot stand, a nation divided cannot stand. We're in a divided nation, and I conclude, based on the study of the Word of God, that it's an impossibility for America to stand as we know it and as we have once known it, based on what we see taking place today. So we're talking about a subject today, whatever happened or what happened to America. And we're going to be looking at what happened to America through the lens of future, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, of looking back and asking the question, what happened to America? We're going to look at about six or seven different points that I believe is necessary for us to see where we are, where we're going. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Thank you for taking my call. You started out with the movie A Wonderful Life there. Well, let's just take Hollywood for example. During that period that this movie was produced, church attendance was in its highest in the United States there. The actors that were portraying the characters in these movies had a sense of morals and values. Most of them were raised in church. They had been through World War II. They knew right from wrong. They knew truth. And if you want to see, you're saying the history of the United States, you can watch the slow demise of Hollywood itself as a mirrored reflection of what is happening in the United States now. They don't produce anything that has what I would call moral values. There's a few movies here and there, but they're few and far between. A lot of the movies back then had a lesson, like A Wonderful Life.
A moral, ethical lesson. Even in your old Westerns, and I'll admit to anybody, for the most part, when I was at an early age, we had no such thing as TV in our home. But finally, when I was just a few years old, we wound up with the TV. Most of your channels were snow channels, you know, the black and white snow on it. But those that I did watch were the old Western movies. I enjoyed Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, and others like that. But it always had a theme that the good guy always won. The one riding in with the white hat always won. You don't see that today. It is the reverse of that today that we see taking place. And Jim, one of the things that I'll bring out and get your take on it, demographers in 2009, I'm pretty certain, I don't have the documents before me, but I'm pretty certain my memory is correct. It was in 2009, the demographers said that by 2030, America would be a Spanish-speaking nation. And by 2050, America would be controlled by Islam. Now, what say you to that projection?
Well, I could see this projection coming true because right now, as it stands there, we're a nation without any borders there and a nation that's slowly losing its culture. When you lose your culture or who you are as a people, you don't have sovereignty anymore. And a good example is we had a lot of people coming in the early 19th century there, and they actually stopped immigration just to allow the influx of people that were coming in to integrate into the American lifestyle. You know, yes, we're a nation of immigrants, but everybody that came here wanted to be and partake and be a part of it. You know, if you were from Germany or anywhere else, it didn't matter where you were from in Europe or anywhere else. If you came here, you learned the language. You had a common, you know, school curriculum, which involved correct history of doctrine of the United States, civil, what do you call that course where you learn civics. And you participated in the Republic. You did your duty, and you put your country, you know, and your family first. Whereas we've got people that are coming here today, and they're waving the flag of the country they came from. And I only have one question: why did you come here if you're going to wave the flag of where you came from?
That's right. In fact, in North Carolina, over almost 700 professors in higher education are now all riled up because the new law requires that all of the universities, colleges, and higher education teach the Constitution, teach the founding documents and the founding fathers, and they're upset now that it's going to ruin all of America if students are taught Americanism, if the students are taught the history of our nation and the founding documents. Therein lies the whole problem. We're watching the, and by the way, you're familiar with this, I'm sure, that before we watched a total disintegration of the immigration system, we were bringing in about 2 million each year on the legal process through the INS of processing about 2 million and giving them citizenship or allowing them to come in for future citizenship in America. And now we just opened the floodgates. And many are not aware of the fact that the real number under the Biden administration is about 15 million. Those that called gotaways and those that we know of and those that have been counted, if there is any such thing with legitimacy, about 15 million that's come into America. And as a result of that, we're destroying the integrity of America today. And we're going to talk about that further in this broadcast of what that is doing and the end result of that. But we're looking at it through the lens of what happened to America. We will look 10 years from now back and say, where did our Bill of Rights go? Where did the Constitution go? What about our founding documents? Why don't we have religious liberties and freedom of speech and the right to keep and bear arms? All of those things, Jim, in my most humble opinion, will be history past in the United States of America. Will not be real, but it will go back as a child talking with great-great-granddaddy about, you know, why can't we go to church today, Grandpa? And because there are no churches today, they're all Islamic mosques. Why can't we have freedom to walk down the street? It's because the thugs will kill you and there's no repercussion or anything that can be done. Grandpa, what are the blue-helmeted soldiers walking down our streets in our little town? Well, that's the United Nations police force. They police our cities now. All of those things I see into the, if you please, the future of where America is going unless we recognize what is happening and put the brakes on immediately. Put the brakes on immediately. Jim, all we can do is keep praying, keep looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. But thank you so much for your call and for your input today. Keep on keeping on. We should never, ever, 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 ever quit.
Never.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I appreciate you. I appreciate your program.
Thank you so much.
I'm trying to understand. Now, you had an illegal alien come over here and kill, what, five people and a child? And I don't understand what they're trying to create chaos, I think.
Well, they're looking at it on the basis that the survival of the fittest is perhaps what is seen in most nations. Most nations are not what we would call lawful, but lawless nations, and it is the jungle mentality, the survival of the fittest. They bring with them that same mindset and mentality. The mindset, the mentality is, if I don't like you, I will kill you. If you have something that I want, I will take it from you. If I want to drive through an intersection without stopping, I will do so to your peril. If I want an education, I'm going to force the schools to teach my language and train me in the educational process in my own language. If I want to go to the hospital and give birth to babies every month, then I have that privilege and that right, because Americans are going to give it to me. The mindset is today, Kenneth, that American governmental system, the fundamentals of our foundation of our great nation, are being absolutely eviscerated, and it's because of the Joe Biden mentality and those that are the globalists, going back to William Jefferson Clinton, going back to Barack Hussein Obama, going back to Bush 1 and Bush 2, going back to the Biden administration now. We're finding all of these were globalists, all of these are globalists, and as a result of that, they want to destroy, they despise and want to destroy anything that's called the sovereignty of America. We saw it in Bush 1, we saw it in Bush 2, and we tried to overlook that because some of the things they were doing were good, but they were still globalists, one world order. In fact, George H.W. Bush, in his inaugural address, 8 times talked about the one world order. We do not recognize it until it's too late. This is the reason such antagonism, anger, and hatred, and venomous response to Donald J. Trump, because he is not a globalist. He's not a one-world order man. He is for America. And as a result of that, those that are the globalists, one-world order, the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab and all of those, Bill Gates and others, they hate Trump because he stands for the sovereign nation of America. So we can look down the road, Kenneth, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and see that America will be controlled in its speech by Hispanic-speaking people, and the linguists have already told us that by the demographers and what they've said. And I can tell you, based on the research and the study and the publication of a book, Is Islam Tolerant? Islam is not tolerant. It is intolerant. It is the most wicked, evil religion on the face of the globe. And by 2050, according to the demographers, and it may be 2049, maybe 2051, but by 2050, they tell us that it will be an Islamically controlled nation. We'll talk about that on this broadcast today. What does that connote? What does that mean? What does it mean if Islam is in control? Is that good or bad? We'll talk about that today. But, Kenneth, the storm clouds are brewing. The storm clouds are looming. The storm clouds are getting closer and closer. And yet it seems as though the general population, including spineless preachers in the pulpits, will not take a stand on truth, will not take a stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God.
Yes, sir, you are so correct. And I think that was Jim you had on the line at first.
Yes.
He was dead on point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Kenneth, all we can do, we can't be defeated. We can't surrender. We can't wave the white flag of surrender. We must keep on keeping on. And in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it tells us very clearly, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against wickedness in high places, evil in high places. We're talking about demonic demonically controlled spirits in the world today. The Apostle Paul tells us, as believers, we must put on the whole armor of God, and then in verse 13 of chapter 6, Ephesians, having done all, that's putting on the whole armor, having done all, that's taking a stand, having done all, stand. That means we dig in the heels. We do not bow. We do not bend. We do not run. We do not hide. We do not surrender. We stand and face the enemy, being fully dressed with the whole armor of God. Lest we have the whole armor on, we will be eviscerated by the enemy. And that is what we need to do, need to understand, and take care of getting that whole armor in place. Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call.
I want to say this to you right quick.
All right.
I have to find, I could donate to you.
You ask the question again, I didn't hear it.
I said, I'm going to find out how I could donate to you, because you have been a blessing to me.
Well, brother, I am thankful to hear that, and it's very, very simple. Go to the website, FCBC, that's FCBCATJAX.com. That's the website. FCBCATJAX.com. Go to the radio section, look down for the donate button, click that, and put in $1,000 or $2. That'd be good.
Kenneth, whatever
the Lord leads you to do, that'd be a blessing, brother. We look forward to it. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today, and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what happened to America. Do you think, this is a question, demands to be answered, you think the America that we know today will always be the America of tomorrow? Do you believe that we'll continue to go down this track of having a president come in and eviscerate our Bill of Rights, to eviscerate our Constitution and our liberties, to eviscerate our founding documents, to go down the blind road of destroying our youth, 146,000 already teens and preteens that have been mutilated with body parts being cut off through the transgender demonic craze by Joe Biden. I believe Joe Biden, by the way, you might disagree with this. Call me and tell me why you think I'm wrong. I believe Joe Biden is a closet pedophile, a closet pedophile. He likes to hug little girls, rub his hands in the head, lean over and kiss them, smell their hair. One recently where he was trying to intrigue a little girl to go into the White House and let him give a tour, and it's right in the middle of some kind of conference or right in the middle of some kind of interview by the media, and he just digressed and started talking to the little girl and offered to lead her by the hand into the White House. I think the man is a closet pedophile, but it's the same mentality that is in the Oval Office today that's destroying the United States of America and the fundamental foundation of morals and ethics and values. That's what we're talking about today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the complete transformation of America into a nation that we never knew. A nation that we never knew. I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, most have heard this said, and most cannot even believe it to be possible, much less probable, but I believe that's where we're headed. Let's take just a few thoughts as we take what I call a short trip down the historic past of what has happened in America. As we look at what has already happened in America, it forebodes, is a looming, foreboding overview of where we're going in the future of America. Someone says, if you are not careful, you're going to repeat history. We're going to repeat it today. And we're going to talk about it today on this broadcast as to where we're headed in America. We're headed down the, as it used to be called, the old primrose path, that is going to be a path of destruction for our sovereignty, for our morals and ethics and values. We're headed down a path in America where one day in the near future, there'll be no such thing as worship. There'll be no such thing as freedom of religion. There'll be no such thing as freedom of speech. There'll be no such thing as the right to keep and bear arms. There'll be no such thing as having things protected from the government without the government entry, our Fourth Amendment, 14th Amendment, that guarantees us that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this thought today on what happened to America. We're going to take a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Although he has so far refused to negotiate with Republicans, President Biden has invited the four congressional leaders to the White House next week. They'll talk about raising the debt ceiling. The legal tussle between Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and entertainment giant Disney goes on. Disney took the governor to federal court, and now a state oversight panel has sued Disney in state court. The hunt for the suspect in the fatal shootings of five people in Cleveland, Texas, is now into its fourth day. The suspect was in the country illegally, found his way back into the U.S. after being deported more than once. And the Israeli military says at least 22 rockets have been fired at Israeli territory today from Gaza. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down 405 points, and NASDAQ is off 118. More details at srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we're talking about today what I believe to be a very, very profound, real, necessary subject. What happened to America? Projecting our thoughts 3 years, 5 years, 10 years in the future. If Jesus Christ tarries, the rapture does not come in that period of time, what will America be like? Of course, listen, for the Christian, bring it on, because we know who wins in the end. We know that based on the authority of Scripture, the next thing on the calendar of God is the sudden seizure, the snatching away, the snatching out of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I say, come on, Lord Jesus. But if that doesn't happen, and time tarries, and God allows more time, we look through the prism of future tense based on present and past tense, and we ask the question, what happened to America? The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
My comment is concerning how America is changing. I would say America has already changed. Mm-hmm. Comparing America in 1960, which is when I came over from Cuba, and today, is a very different country. Everything is like you could never imagine how it has changed. Religion is not important. Education is, in my opinion, crap compared to the education I got 30 years ago. The schools are indoctrinating. That was not the case as bad 30 years ago. The demographics has changed. to get the good, the bad, and the ugly. Sure, we can accept everybody, but let's accept only the very best, not the low-class people who want to come over to take advantage of us. And yes, we are a nation of immigrants, but it is legal immigrants. That's yes. The word that most people forget to use.
Yes.
You have to be legal immigrant. I remember as a student with a student visa, then a tourist visa, then student visa, then a resident visa. Any immigrant was very respectful of immigration. And it was my thinking that if you misbehaved, you could be deported. Now, the worse you act, the more they give you all the rights of a citizen. So that's so stupid. And I blame the Republican Party for colluding with the Democrat Party, the Communists, to destroy our great nation.
Absolutely. In fact, Derby, if I could hold you for just a moment, I'm looking at a headline news article dated April the 30th of this year. Dr. James Dobson warns Biden has a plan to destroy America's sovereignty. Dr. Dobson, who has advised a long list of presidents on faith issues and founded the James Dobson Institute and Family Talk Radio, is warning America about Joe Biden's plan to destroy our nation's sovereignty. And he says, I'm writing to you today to warn of an imminent and real threat to the sovereignty of our nation. Two of our founding fathers, President George Washington and President Thomas Jefferson, counseled America against forming misaligned allegiances with foreign entities, especially those who do not share our allegiances to the principles that formed our republic. And he goes on to talk about Biden administration is on the verge of turning our government over to the Chinese authorities and to others that hate us. And he goes on with major five-page article about the fact that Biden is destroying our nation's sovereignty. Derby, quick question. Can we blame it solely on Joe Biden, or do we find something that is more sinister behind the scenes? Is Joe Biden the puppet, or is he the puppeteer?
Well, he's the puppet, and it has been happening. This changing for the worse has been happening for 60 years since I came over from Cuba. It is not the same country, period. And I like for us to be like we were in the 50s, happy days. You know, everybody had a job. Did you know that in 1960 or 61, when I graduated from high school, I thought I'd get a summer job and then go to college? Well, I went to the post office and got a Social Security number. No problem. I didn't need any special visa. So I want to work. Give me a social. And I got it, and I went to work. And I have been working ever since, paying taxes.
That is the historic past. The present, we're seeing that being eviscerated. So, Derby, I am thankful for you and for your stand, for your brief statements in relationship to what you have seen in your lifetime coming from another nation. And I can say to you and to our listeners today, that is not happening today. We're seeing the reverse of that taking place today. We're seeing Isaiah 5:20 taking place today. What is considered bad is now called good. What is considered good is now called bad. We're looking at things in a reverse view. Derby, thank you so much for your call. Thank
You're
you for
welcome.
Your input. By the way, one quick question. What are we going to do with two worthless candidates for mayor?
I have a hard time with that. I wish I could vote for neither, but I'm going to have to vote for the lesser evil. Now, who is the lesser evil? That's difficult to tell because it might be easier to get rid of a Democrat than to get rid of a rhino. It's like when we got Obama, we got rid of Obama with a Republican. So we had to have Obama rule us for a while for us to realize that that was not the way to go. Maybe we need Donna Deegan to wake us up and make us open our eyes that most Republicans are really rhinos. And I haven't decided how to vote yet, but I hate having to vote for the lesser evil, whichever that is.
Well, brother, I'm on your side with that. I fully agree. I put the pastor's picks out in the bulletin each election cycle for our congregation to see and be kind of guided by that. And I let them know Sunday that I had to mark my ballot with a clothespin on my nose.
Yeah, well, that,
in order to tolerate,
for many
to
years,
tolerate the stench.
Turning all the Republican candidates, except Trump.
Yes. Well, Derby, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Danny on the line. Danny, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. I've been a longtime watcher and listener, and I just wanted a few moments to have some input if I could.
Yes, sir.
What I see going on today is exactly what God wants to. No accident. If you stand back and look at the way things are going, we are fighting.
We've lost you somehow, Danny. Danny, your call dropped, so if you will call back, we'll finish our conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is vital for us to get a grasp on, the handle, and an understanding of. What happened to America? We're looking at it through the prism, through the lens of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're looking at it through the lens of a projection of 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now of the question, what happened to America? Danny, I believe you're back on the line. Go over the conversation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to add a few comments, if I could.
Yes,
from,
sir.
Some different angles. First of all, as I said, this is a God thing. We're falling right into what his play is. If you stand back and look at this.
We lost Danny again. Danny, we lost you again, brother. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today. What happened to America? We're looking at it for the next 5 years, 10 years, where we're going. But what happened to America? If Jesus delays his tarrying the next 10 years, I believe we'll look back on the real, from the rearview mirror, as I call it, in history, and find, number one, America is no longer a sovereign nation. There'll be no Bill of Rights. We will not have religious liberties. We will not have freedom of speech. We will not have the right to keep and bear arms. We will not have the privilege and the right of having churches on every street corner. In fact, rather than having churches on each street corner, I believe we'll find, as the demographers have said, by 2050, we will have an Islamically controlled nation, just as in Europe today, 15 years ago. Listen, 15 years ago, I said, if you want to know what's going to happen to America in the next 15 years, just look at Europe. Today, ladies and gentlemen, there are places in Europe where it is totally dark, 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 because Islam is in control. Streets named that you cannot even pronounce, where police officers in some of the cities will not even go to police the streets because of the fear of Islam. And yet people do not recognize and realize that we're on the fast track for the Islamic control. And now, for the edification and understanding of those that may be, uninformed on the subject. I'm looking at my book called Is Islam Tolerant, page 34 and following. I just want to read you a few verses out of the Quran. It's the Noble Quran. It's called the Noble Quran. It is the most revered Quran in all of Islam. It is the Quran that the Islamic scholars refer to and quote from. I'm going to quote from their book, Surah. They don't call them chapters. They call them surahs. Surah 3151. We shall cast terror in the hearts of those who disbelieve in Islam. Surah 2:191, and kill them, that is all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such is the recompense of the disbelievers, that's all non-Muslims. Surah 2:193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2:216, jihad, that is holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for all Muslims. Surah 4:56, those who disbelieve, we shall burn them in fire. Surah 4:101, the disbelievers, that is all non-Muslims, are ever unto you an open enemy. Surah 4:102, Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 8:39, fight them, all non-believers, until there's no more disbelief in Islam. Surah 8:55, the worst moving living creature before Allah are those who disbelieve in Islam. And I could go on and on. Surah 9:5 says, kill them, the disbelievers, non-Muslims, wherever you find them, capture them, besiege them, and lie in wait for them in each and every ambush. And I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, and we're on the fast track for that with the present move that we see. And I'm looking at an article that is from Kenya, and it's talking about support for Christians facing Islamic extremism. And it talks about what is taking place in Kenya and those parts of the world where Islam is prevalent today, and the destruction of human life. And especially all Christians are being eviscerated, destroyed, murdered by the Islamic terrorists. And yet that is kept under the wraps in America. We have today in the state of Michigan, almost totally controlled by Islam. Dearborn, Michigan, the Board of Aldermen are Islamics. The police chief's Islamic. Chairman of the political party there is an Islamic. The one that's the head of the city, the mayor, is Islamic. We're watching Islamic coming in, and ladies and gentlemen, based on the Islamic mantra and the mindset, it is to go in quietly, it is to take any position that you can take and be quiet until there's about 4 to 6% of the city or the state or the county or the nation in Islam, and then rise up and demand to be followed and to kill anything that does not follow you. Now, that sounds extreme. It's not extreme. It's exactly what Islam is presently doing today. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching us head for that position. We just picture walking down the streets one day, and rather than seeing spires of church steeples, you're seeing the spires of Islamic mosques. As in Europe today, most of the churches have been closed and turned into, remodeled for Islamic mosques. We're finding on the fast track for that, ladies and gentlemen. I believe Danny's back on the line. Danny, go ahead again with your comments, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, thank you again. I just wanted to comment on a couple things. The Republicans or the conservatives are fighting an uphill battle. We know that. But the problem is that the Democrats or the Communist Party, they're following the book right by the number. They have the news media, and people, we don't understand. We love your show. We love conservative shows, but only the conservatives are really listening. The Democrats have the major networks, and the people that don't have an interest in politics, that don't really care, that's all they hear, and it's all from the Democratic side or the Communist side. So that's where the imbalance comes in at. But if you look at this from a 30,000-foot view, if you're in the Word daily, if you're studying God's Word and you're looking at it, wow, this is just so clear what God is doing. I fully believe we're under God's judgment. We're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, I think, could have ever thought about being. The division in this country is just so stark. It's just unbelievable. But we have to understand that Joe Biden has no clue. He's a puppet. They put him there for a reason. They could run Mickey Mouse, because my fear is Donald Trump's going to get the nomination. I love Donald Trump as far as his policies, but so many people do not like Donald Trump. Conservatives, I've heard them talk about how they couldn't vote for him, how they wrote in somebody else, and that's where the problem is. But we also have to understand this is being guided by about 8 powerful men in the world, that their goal is to take the United States down. And that's what they're using this for, because once they get the United States out of the way, there's nothing to stop them from taking over one world order. And that's what I see as I look at this. And like I said, I appreciate your input every day. I love your show. I try to catch it every day when I can. And because I think you and I see things pretty much from the same perspective. But I just wanted to have a few minutes just to get
absolutely. Danny, hang on. Don't hang up yet. Let me just do a little parenthetical footnote to what you've just said. I believe you're exactly on target. Let's take it a step further. If we look at it from God's perspective, God's sovereign, God's in control. All of the newspaper articles, headlines for tomorrow, God already knows, because God is sovereign. God is in control. He is all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. And when we look at it from God's perspective, I believe, as you have said, we're watching today God's progressive judgment on a nation that has said no to Jesus Christ, on a nation that's banned God, banned the Word of God, banned the cross, banned prayer, banned the Lord Jesus Christ in anything that's called the political arena. And yet when we have major catastrophic events take place, people say, even the loose, lax, lost, liberal, communist network news, they'll say we need to pray. if you're going to pray, God hadn't moved. God's in the same place. But we've moved, and we've said no to God. And I believe as a result of saying no to God, we're under the progressive judgment hand of God. Now, with that being said, God has created man as a volitional being. So man makes choices, man makes decisions, but none of man's volitional choices and decisions are outside of the realm of the sovereign foreknowledge and sovereign hand of God. So God knows it, God sees it, but he's allowing man the volitional choice, and it's man today that said no to God. It's man today that's going to be answerable to God for our decision as a nation, as a people, to reject God. And Danny, it's not just from the secular standpoint. We find every mainline denomination have lost their, as the old world says, the world says, lost their ever-loving mind. They have embraced the sodomite lifestyle. They've embraced everything that's called immoral, ungodly, and unholy. They've embraced the LGBTQ living. They've embraced the ordination of the sodomites as deacons, as leaders, as pastors, even inviting them to come into the churches, as recently took place with the First Baptist Church of Orlando, where they're publicly saying, if you're, in fact, the one of the co-pastors said, if you are an LGBTQ, we welcome you. If you're transsexual, homosexual, or whatever sexuality you have, come on in. We love you. We're going to embrace you. And I could go on and on and on. That's what's demoralizing and destroying the value and the warp in the woof that's the very fabric of the United States of America. America cannot be sustained if that is continued, and I see no trajectory to change it. Going back to Donald J. Trump, when we elected him in 2016, I believe it was God's sovereign intervention to give us an opportunity, and we fumbled the ball. Paul Ryan and others undermined everything that Donald J. Trump tried to do behind the scenes. He was Speaker of the House, and it was under Paul Ryan's leadership that in 2017 and 2018, when we had the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office, that we could do nothing because of people like Paul Ryan. So unless we go in with a fresh broom and do a cleaning of the House in the Republican Party with the leadership, people like Mitch McConnell needs to retire, needs to get out of the way. Even with Kevin McCarthy, I don't trust him. I don't believe he is the right person for that position. But with all that said, we're looking at the change of the demographics of America because of what we're allowing with the floodgates being open. We're changing the economics of America by allowing the banks to fail, and it's because the one world government that's coming into play with the electronic currency that's being put into place July and August of this year. So we're watching the volitional choice of man. You're exactly right, Danny. But the key to it is we need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to confess our sins and ask God to heal our land. That's the only hope for America at this journey. Danny, thank you so much, brother, for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen, the, how would you say, the homeland that we used to know is not here today. Ladies and gentlemen, the blue-helmeted UN police will eventually, listen, hear me, Joe Biden has just turned over the authority of the health of America to the World Health Organization, better known as WHO. The World Health Organization, the next so-called pandemic, will be called by, directed by, controlled by, and enforced by the United Nations World Health Organization, because Joe Biden has just surrendered American sovereignty to the hands of the UN, the World Health Organization, better known as the UNWHO. Ladies and gentlemen, so the next pandemic will be under that control. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're watching with the future potential of the blue helmeted United Nations police patrolling our streets in every city. Once was America, is simply a state. Listen, America eventually will become just a simple state within the realm of what I call United Western Alliance, the United Western Alliance. And I don't know if I originated that term. I think someplace at some point in time I've read an article that suggests that potentiality, and I believe that's what we're watching. We're watching it today because there will be a point in time where there'll be no money, no currency in your pocket of mine, ladies and gentlemen. That telephone is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you these last few minutes of the broadcast today, answering your questions, giving your dialogue and discussion, your input, putting in your 2 cents worth. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the fast track for taking the greenbacks out of your pocket. If you've got $2 in a shoebox under your bed, kiss it goodbye. Because when the Fed coin is introduced, it will be, as one writer said, the world's greatest, most serious identification and tracking system ever devised by man. And that's on the fast track. It'll control the funds. It'll control the money. It'll control where you go. You're buying and you're selling, you're spending, your travel, the ownership of anything under the new alliance, not under America as we know it today, under the new alliance will be in total control of the World Economic Forum. In fact, Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum said, you will own nothing and be happy. And that's where we're headed today, ladies and gentlemen. We're looking at what we call the bank failures. No. It's setting the stage for the federal government to say, the reason we've got to introduce and force the Fed coin is so that we can protect your money. You know, they protected our Social Security, haven't they? They protected our retirement funds, haven't they? They know really how to carry out health care, don't they? So if they cannot control anything that is good, they're going to destroy it. I'm looking at a headline article. Widespread bank failure highlights Biden's utter incompetence. Last week, America experienced the second and third largest bank failures in the United States history. Of course, you wouldn't know it from Joe Biden's behavior. Further, that article says everyone should be paying attention to what's happening after years of failed policies, disastrous management, and outright neglect from Biden. Our economy is seriously choppy waters. The American people are paying the price. Here's what happened. Silicon Valley Bank, the 16th largest bank in America, experienced a catastrophic run on deposits and failed March the 10th. Sending shockwaves throughout the financial industry. For some context, the last time a bank failure of this large happened was in 2008 at the outset of the Great Recession. Just days later, Signature Bank, another large financial institution, collapsed in Silicon Valley Bank. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on with a massive article in relationship to the failure of our banking system. That is a must. Hear me. That is a must to take place for the federal government to lock arms with the Chinese system, with the World Global Economic Forum system, is to put it in the position, just as found in Revelation chapter 13, where you won't be able to buy, sell, trade, travel, or buy a car. You won't be able to go to college. You won't be able to own or rent an apartment unless you are in good favor with your government that controls your digital dollars. It's the digital currency, ladies and gentlemen, that will be brought into play to control by geofencing where you go, what you can do, what you can spend, or they'll press the button and cut the money off. Ladies and gentlemen, artificial intelligence is also a part of this future. What happened to America? Do you realize with the looming, fast-paced introduction of artificial intelligence, one writer said that in the next 2 years, it will cut 90% of the employment out in America. Now, I don't know if I agree with the 90%, but the point that he was making in that writing was that through artificial intelligence, the big organizations, the globalists will be able to control without having to depend on a workforce. Folks are lazy today. People do not want to work today. The government, through Biden administration, has allowed $600-800 a week to go into the hands of sorry, good for nothing, lazy people that have no concern about working. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the artificial intelligence will be an answer to that that's supposed to be good. But according to some of the best in that field, eventually artificial intelligence will take on total control of the globe. Now, you might say that's far-fetched. You might say that's some conspiracy theory. No, based on what I have read, based on the research on the subject, we're in serious, serious trouble with that, ladies and gentlemen. The point is, let me wrap it up. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, if we look in the rearview mirror, 10 years from now, we look back and we see America. We'll see an America with no Bill of Rights. We'll see an America with no freedom of religion. We'll see an America with no right to keep and bear arms. We'll see an America where the government controls every move, every step, everything you do, everything you say. That's where we're headed. And so what is the answer? We need to seek God's face. We need to confess our sins. We need to turn from our wicked ways and ask God to heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them.